gracious Father, as we come now to think about your word, we pray that you would open our eyes to truly see you. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. There are moments in the Bible, in Scripture, where if we're kind of really paying attention, it's like in a film where suddenly sort of things slow down or the camera zooms in. Moments where a single sentence, as we read it, becomes so dense with meaning that it seems to kind of like drop like a stone into a deep pool, and the ripples go out and out and out and out. And I think that John 1:29 is one of those verses, is one of those moments. John the Baptist sees Jesus coming towards him and he cries out, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And that word "look" is not a sort of casual kind of thing. It's not a passing glance. It's a summons, a command. Stop what you're doing. Turn your attention. Fix your eyes here, because if you miss this, you miss everything. We've spoken in the last couple of weeks about how Epiphany, which is the name for this kind of season after Christmas, means sort of revelation, a revealing of something. But it's a revealing of something that you really intentionally, determinedly have to look for. Look. John doesn't say, "Look, a teacher." He doesn't say, "Look, a miracle worker." He doesn't even say, "Look, the Messiah." He says, "Look, the Lamb of God." And to understand the kind of shock and the depth of that word, and to appreciate the ripples that that phrase sends out, we kind of have to step into the shoes of the people who are hearing it, John's audience. So I have to kind of try and hear it through first century Jewish ears. Because a lamb wasn't a sort of a cutesy, fluffy, gentle sort of image that we tend to conjure up these days. It would have immediately brought to mind images of sacrifice and blood and ideas of rescue. People would have been taken right back to that night of the first Passover when they were slaves in Egypt, and when the blood of a lamb painted on the doorposts of their homes marked out those who would be spared from God's judgment. Following God's instructions, the lamb ensured that God's people escaped not only from their slavery in Egypt and that bondage of slavery, but from the judgment of death that befell their oppressors. And then lambs were also central to Israel's ongoing life and relationship with God. Day by day, year by year, lambs were sacrificed for sin. Reminders that sin was serious, that forgiveness was costly, and that reconciliation required blood. A lamb, perfect without blemish, stood in the place of the sinner, the person making the sacrifice. And now John points to a man walking towards them and says, "That's him." Not a lamb, but the lamb. Not one sacrifice among many, but the final decisive sacrifice. The Lamb of God who takes away, not covers up temporarily or delays judgment, but takes away the sin of the whole world. Jesus is that lamb. But John doesn't stop there. He goes on to say something pretty mind-boggling that stretches our sort of human understanding. He says, "The man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me. And on the surface, it sounds contradictory. It doesn't make any sense at all. Jesus was born after John. He's the slightly younger cousin of John the Baptist. He begins his public ministry later than John. And yet John says, he was before me. And we're taken back to those opening words of John's gospel, different John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus is not just the Lamb who appeared at a particular moment in history. He's the eternal Lamb, chosen before the foundation of the world. Not just the Son of God, born one day in Bethlehem, but the eternal Son. Not an afterthought or a later part of God's plan, but always the eternal heart of that plan. And this is the kind of mind-bending claim, the mystery, if you like, of the Christian faith, that the eternal God steps into time, that the Creator enters his creation, and that he does so not as a warrior king riding in triumph, but as a sacrificial lamb walking towards a cross. John the Baptist calls him God's chosen one. This is the Messiah. But this Messiah doesn't match people's expectations. He doesn't come to overthrow Rome with violence. He doesn't come to crush enemies by force. He comes to deal with sin, the deeper bondage, the real slavery, the root problem of the world. And what makes this perhaps even more striking is who is saying it. John the Baptist is not a distant observer. He is Jesus' cousin. Luke tells us in his gospel that John leapt in his mother's womb when Mary, pregnant with Jesus, entered the room. John knew Jesus growing up. They probably had play dates. He likely shared meals with him, stories with him, family gatherings with him. And yet John says, I myself did not know him. Not fully, not truly, not as the Lamb of God until now. And there's something kind of deeply humbling about that. You can be close to Jesus and still not fully see him. You can know the stories, know the language, know the traditions, and still miss who he really is. John needed God to open his eyes. He needed that epiphany, that revelation. And so do we. It begs the question of us, do we think we already know all that there is to know about Jesus? Have we kind of reduced him into sort of something manageable? A good moral example, a spiritual helper, a comforting presence. Because John's declaration kind of shatters those small views of Jesus. This isn't really just a pebble being dropped gently into our minds, causing little ripples that barely ruffle the surface. This should be like a great big boulder that comes crashing in and causes a tidal wave. This is not a Jesus that we box up neatly and control. It isn't a Jesus that we can reduce to our own sort of concepts. This is the eternal Lamb of God, chosen before all worlds began. A sacrifice made once for all across all time and eternally sovereign. And notice what happens next. Two of John's disciples hear him speak and they follow Jesus. And Jesus turns and asks them a very pointed question. What do you want? Not what do you believe, not do you have the right theology, but what are you really looking for? And they kind of answer rather awkwardly, Rabbi, where are you staying? And it kind of almost is kind of deflecting a bit, or you can almost kind of see Jesus kind of rolling his eyes and thinking, really, that's the question that is really on your hearts that you want to ask me? But he graciously replies with an invitation that still stands for us today. Come and see. Come and see. Look, come, see. The Christian faith isn't about information, it's about transformation. And it begins with looking, really looking at who Jesus is, continues with coming, stepping towards him, risking getting up close, and it leads to seeing. And seeing leads to a changed understanding and a changed life. Andrew is so changed by this encounter that the first thing he does is find his brother Simon and say, "We found the Messiah." And when Jesus meets Simon, he gives him a new name, Peter. And that's really significant because this is about a new identity, a hint that encountering the Lamb of God doesn't leave people unchanged. It transforms our whole identity. It transforms who we are. And again, it begs the same questions of us. Have our eyes been really opened to who Jesus is? And if so, have we been changed? Because it's possible to admire and respect Jesus without following him, to talk about Jesus without really opening ourselves up to him and surrendering to him, even to sing songs about the Lamb of God without allowing him to take away our sin. John points and says, look. Jesus invites, come and see. That's what Alpha is all about. Come and see. But the gospel calls us not just to observe, but to respond. So today and every day, we're invited to look at the Lamb of God, not kind of the Jesus of our assumptions, but the Jesus who gives himself for the life of the world. We're invited to come and see, not once, but every day. Come and see. And we're invited to allow our encounter with Jesus to change us, as it changed John, Andrew, Peter, and countless others. Because when you truly see the Lamb, you are never the same. Amen.